You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Saints with another closed practice tomorrow to walk through, and then boom, it is time for preseason game number two. Before they get in game mode, we can talk a little bit more about what the Black and Gold's getting ready for. You will see, hear from Sheldon Rankins and a couple of other players here as well, as have been a lot of movement on that defensive line, getting a lot of depth there as well, so we'll definitely address that. Today's lead, LSU losing two quarterbacks. We'll hear from Lowell Narcisse as he is transferring. He was on this morning on Off the Bench with Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert. We will play that interview in its entirety coming up here in a little bit so you can actually hear what he had to say, the reasons why he gave that he is leaving Baton Rouge and looking to play elsewhere. So it's down to two quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, Miles Brennan. Now the race to try to get Lowell Narcisse into their programs for next year. Justin McMillan not at practice yesterday. A lot of people believe he will be the next one to officially say that he is transferring. But we'll get into all of that and more. Plus, of course, go in and around the world. The sports, as Jordan the intern is now dusting off, what is that, sugar? Is that what you're doing there?
Some sugar and some kolache.
Yeah.
Kolache Boudin.
Yeah, Boudin kolaches as we are at Shipley's Donuts here in Old Metairie. And, yeah, I thought I was going to be healthy. I brought the smoothie. I was ready to go. Scott Walker joins us, one of the owners of Shipley's Donuts here in Old Metairie. And, Scott, you kind of saw the conundrum there, right, of me trying to be healthy with the smoothie that I normally have during lunch, and I had just finished wolfing down one of the Boudin kolaches.
I saw some internal conflict in your face, in your mannerisms, mm-hmm. but I think you solved it. You balanced it well. You have the kolache and you have the smoothie. That's fine. It's a well-balanced lunch.
Exactly right. 2561 Metairie Road in Old Metairie, between Causeway and Bonneville, I guess the best way to
right at Metairie Road and LaBar, yeah. Yeah. You know, if you know where Rouse's is on airline, Book a ride on LaBar, come down Metairie Road, and you're here.
I saw already on Twitter somebody goes, is the Shipley's in Metairie? Is the Shipley's in the New Orleans area? It's the only one here, right?
The only one in southeast Louisiana. There are hundreds throughout Texas and some other southeastern states, Alabama and Mississippi, and they're in Tennessee and just opened up one in Florida, opened up their first one in Colorado, but this is the first in southeast Louisiana, and we have the development rights for Orleans, Jefferson, St. Tammany, so more are coming. Everybody wants us to do another one tomorrow somewhere, but it's
going
to take a little time, but more are coming.
No doubt. I obviously came into finding out what Shipley's is all about from Houston. As you mentioned, There's thousands over there in Texas. The Houston area, people have gone there. Obviously, if we've evacuated once or twice and made our way to Texas, we've probably stopped and eaten at a Shipley's. So you have everything that you know Shipley's for.
A lot of brand familiarity.
But there is, Scott, something that's very unique to Louisiana, and that's what I just touched on, the Boudin.
The Boudin kolache. What'd you think about that?
It's ridiculous.
It's pretty good.
It is.
Oh, I like to tell people it's life-changing. That's what I tell people when they come up, because you're not expecting what you bite into, and it ends up being pretty darn good.
It really honestly was, and look, what's the best way to describe a kolache?
Savory, to go mm-hmm. with your sweet, to right. balance the sweet of the donuts. And a lot of people use the pig in a blanket comparison.
That's what Jordan used.
I don't like that necessarily because this is a – but that's probably the closest visual that you can get because right. our sausages are closed up on the ends. Pig in a blankets are open on the end. Or pigs in a blanket, however you might say it, mm-hmm. are open on the end. But generally, the same concept. It's the same dough as the donut is made from. It's baked instead of fried, though. So you have right. the same taste across the board, but it's a fried taste of the donut compared to the baked taste with the kolache. And we have several different brands, sausage and cheese, jalapeno, ham and cheese, the Boudin, a breakfast one that we started doing a little while ago. So it's been great. We've been super pleased by our response in Old Metairie and the surrounding area. We've had people come from New Orleans East, from Slidell, from the West Bank, from Mississippi, to get their taste of Shipley donuts. We went to college at Southern Miss together, and that's where I had them for the first time in 93 at the Shipley in Hattiesburg. So,
yeah, so this has been in the works for quite some time.
It took me 25 years, but we got it done.
Yeah. How long were
9 years.
9 years. Why does it seem so much longer?
I know. The gray hair on my head makes it seem like it was longer. Their 9 years was in Orlando for 2 years before that, Mobile for seven before that, and bounced around Mississippi for a few years before that. Started my career in sports. Did that for the first five or so, and then switched over to news.
I guess that's why it feels that way. I've known you since Brother Martin, Southern Miss. Yeah. And then, obviously, when you came back here to New Orleans, and I want to say one time I was at Halloween Horror Nights, a.k.a. Spooky Nights for me, and I'm watching the news after Halloween Horror Nights, and they're already 11 o'clock when you were in Orlando.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, yeah,
it's funny how
everywhere.
I just pop out.
Pop out.
Little-known sports fact about Gus Kattengill and Scott Walker. We shared
a story?
It is the story.
I was waiting for the story.
There's only one story.
There's only one story.
That's it.
Here it is. You ready,
Gus?
Jordan,
I can't wait for this.
Gus was an emergency fill-in on our college football intramural team.
Yes.
The Mullets, which is it's quite a powerhouse back in its day.
We really were.
But we were down a guy, maybe a couple of guys, and said, Gus, can you come play with us tonight?
Yeah.
So Gus is like, sure. So he comes and suits up.
There we go. Now make it official. There we go.
That is official. Mm-hmm. I had a rare appearance at quarterback for the Mullets. I told Gus, go deep. So took the snap.
It was a fly route.
You went deep.
It was just drop
back. Remember the way Larry Holder threw that pass at the media game not too long ago, a couple of years ago?
Yes.
It was the opposite of that.
It was a perfect spiral.
It was a beautifully thrown ball.
Rainbow. Oh no. It almost touched the clouds in the night, the stars, because it was at night.
And Gus, back in the day, was pretty fleet of foot.
Yes.
He ran under that pass like a gazelle. Caught it on his fingertips and waltzed into the end zone.
After that play, dirty tactics were then employed with me as they were grabbing jerseys. I think I got tackled once or twice.
Maybe cleated.
In flag football. Yes, that is the greatest moment, quite honestly, in Southern Miss intramural history. So.
And I think that was my only touchdown pass and your only touchdown catch, and Gus never played for the Mullets again. But
it was your peak.
It was a moment.
You reached your peak
once
at
again,
that point.
Look, you know, he doesn't believe me, but over there at the Payne Center, you know, you walk in and you go over to the left. There is a case of plaques when you win intramural. And we are the Sacks two-time intramural champions. So, I mean, it's there. It's forever and ever. If Carver ever goes there, he's going to walk in and see his dad was part of a back-to-back champion. I mean, you can't take that away from me, Scott. I mean, I'm a champion.
No, I mean, I'm a champion. Through and through.
Yeah.
And
check this out.
When you think about Shipley Donuts,
yes.
Bad segue, you may not think about how we're connected to the Saints.
Right.
But here's how we're connected to the Saints.
Let me guess.
Thomas Morstead is a huge Shipley fan. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Texas, grew up in Houston, and he's part of our Founders Club here, which we started at the beginning. We made a $16,000 contribution before we opened to his foundation, presented him with a big fake check at our grand opening, but they had the money well before that. It was all before we opened. And great partnership with him. He's been a great partner with us. I mean, you can't ask for a better guy to associate your business with. He's been wonderful. And Saints players come in here and have our donuts all the time.
It's right down the street.
In the off season.
Exactly.
I haven't seen since they started. Thomas came in and he's like, once we get to a certain point in the year, I don't eat the donuts anymore. He has to.
Well, he's training for like American Ninja Warrior.
Right.
Do you see the videos that he's made?
I've seen those arms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hence the smoothie right here to my left.
Ugh, stop it.
What?
But Cam Jordan. Hey, Cam Jordan's been in. Taysom Hill's been in. Numerous Saints players have stopped by. A couple of Pelicans players come in and they sneak in and they sneak out. I don't know if their diet would agree with the donuts all the time.
So
it's good to have everybody here.
Not just obviously donuts, but at Scott Walker 6, you can still be followed. And I congratulated you when I walked in this morning. I was going to show you a little bit before the show. Here's the Atlanta Hawks team page. And it's something that I was referencing you because the New Orleans Pelicans and you gonna be hanging out this season, doing their social media, kind of talking to them a little bit about that. But this was really cool. If you look at the Hawks page, right, boom, that's all the different ways you could connect on social media. And then, Scott, what I thought was really cool is there's the roster, and it's every player,
you
and it's their Twitter, Instagrams, their Facebooks, what have you. Social media is incredible. I brought up the stat that Darren Revelle had, I want to say over the weekend, that the NBA, 30 million, they've eclipsed 30 million Instagram followers. The NFL has 11.
That's incredible.
To me, like the NBA's that it league, right? They do a really good job, I think, the NBA of making the players available. Adam Silver today saying, hey, India next year. He's thinking of having preseason games. Yeah. They're global. And this is why I've always made this reference, and I don't know if you can agree with me or not. Anthony Davis has the possibility to be bigger than Drew Brees. And what I mean by that is, here locally, Brees, I mean, the statue, he's the saint, he can run for governor and mayor, you know that. But Anthony Davis is more global, I think. Until recently, oh, yeah. You're starting to hear people say first ballot Hall of Famer, they're referencing with Brady and stuff of that nature. AD, Max Kellerman, a first take yesterday, says by this year, he thinks, for whatever it's worth, the talking head, he's going to pass LeBron as the best player in the NBA. And the NBA is global.
Yeah, and not to take anything away from Drew, obviously, because
correct,
he's a superstar, but NFL players play with their helmets on. Yeah. And just in general, NBA players are more visible, naturally, because of the sport they play. They don't cover their faces. And I think that naturally gives the NBA players a bigger platform to be recognized. And Anthony Davis with the brows, I mean, obviously that's a huge signature for him, and the way he is recognized here locally, regionally, nationally, and around the globe. So I agree that the NBA does things. Trying to shut me down.
Jordan the intern trying to shut his mic down.
I'm usually at four.
See, this is what I have to deal with. In case you're not noticing, let me do a little bit of play-by-play here. Jordan the intern wanted to turn his mic down like he should before he got up and took a picture of our conversation so he could put it on Twitter,
right,
which is we're about to get into what you're doing now, Scott.
So he felt like he was turning down his mic.
The problem was he turned down our guest's mic.
Usually I'm on four.
Well, you are normal. You're right. He is. That's my bad.
He said usually he's a four?
Yes. He's usually on my... Exactly.
We're talking about, but with all that comes great responsibility on social media, and that's what I talk to. I have several college programs I'm going to talk to this month. I'm talking to the Pelicans next month about how easy it is to screw up everything that you have in a heartbeat. I mean, these guys have multi-million dollar contracts. They have endorsement deals. They have the respect of their communities, but one ill-advised tweet or Facebook post or...
Even a retweet, a follow.
A retweet.
Right?
I talked to a football program, which shall remain nameless, a couple of years ago. And I showed them, I do an analysis of their own social media platforms. And I look at it and show them what they've done. I black out the names to protect the innocent, but they all usually know who it is because they laugh
and point
at each other and they know who's doing it. But they didn't understand why... retweets that denigrated women, memes that denigrated women or had sexual content and things like that. What was wrong with it? All I did was retweet it. It's my account. I can do what I want. It's freedom of speech.
You're endorsing it.
And I said, well, you know what? First of all, anybody who has retweets or not endorsements on their Twitter bio isn't going to save their job one day
exactly
if they retweet the wrong thing. So I think that's a total waste of time to put that on your bio because it does nothing to help you. And at the same time, you have the guys who are tweeting this stuff out and don't know what's wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And it's this, it's kind of like this generation that has grown up with social media. They are these athletes and these students coming through college right now are the most technologically advanced students and student athletes in the history of the world. And they've had this stuff. They've had tablets since they were kids and they're just exposed to it 24/7. So a lot of them don't understand why what is wrong. And what you need to do to be successful on it. Because it can be a wonderful platform, obviously, and a great resource if you use it the right way, but it's so easy to torch an entire career, lose millions.
In seconds.
In one tweet.
In literally just like, to
plenty
your
of
point.
NBA examples, plenty of NFL examples that I use that are real life things and what it's cost people.
So while you're anchoring, right, at WDSU, just a retweet of a candidate, all of a sudden you're on that side of the aisle, you're supporting
right.
it. It's exactly
gotta
right.
be like, neutral. Gotta be Switzerland.
I've had to, you know, understand that and as well as who you follow too. You know, I mean, all those different things that pop up. And
right. You don't want to, if you're an NBA player and you follow a bunch of porn stars on Twitter, which I've seen people do before, that's not a good look.
Right.
I mean, maybe you're not interacting with them, but you're
political
following
candidates,
them.
Right? I mean, one recently that happened.
Direct messages that you're sending that think are going to remain private. Yeah. You accidentally put it out there.
They can screenshot it.
Text messages that are screenshots, tweets that are screenshot, because once it's out there, it's out there. Somebody's grabbing it.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you delete it 10 seconds later. Somebody's going to have it.
Speaking with Scott Walker, one of the owners here at Shipley's Donuts, and also, of course, starting his own business, stepping away from the anchor desk, but really into a field that I find fascinating because it can do so good. You mentioned Thomas Morstead. You saw what happened after the Minnesota game, using social media really a lot to do that. You can see the connectivity, you know, how people can connect in emergencies. I mean, obviously, in your time here in New Orleans from – several storms, hurricanes, what have you, so much news reporting has kind of gone into it. Would you say that's one of the biggest differences now? I mean, now you have, instead of live shots where you need a sat truck, Scott, I mean, you can go Facebook Live. I can use my cell phone to, you know, you can toss it to me and I'm on the interstate and reporting on the contraflow traffic, but I'm in my car and using my telephone. It's incredible because I know during storms we've used that. I watch Six and it is, you're using that. People are sending in images. People are sending in video of rescues, of traffic, of what have you.
Anybody can be a journalist, and it's a double-edged sword sometimes because you have all this crowdsourcing of photos, information, and everything else that helps you react to a breaking news story immediately. But on the flip side, the professional journalists, the ones who do it as a career, have to vet information, make sure in the best way possible that it's accurate before it goes on the air, and then you put out there what you can, the best you can. It's a great resource, but there are a lot of people out there posing as news people, quote-unquote news people, that aren't. And that's where a lot of the in big news situations, that's where social media can be a great resource and a huge problem.
Well, the fact that you're working with the Bills this season has got to be great because, obviously, look, everyone wants to pull from AD, you know, and use those different things. But it's not just him. It's anyone else on that team that can really benefit from really what you do. So you walk in, they sit down, and is that what that presentation means?
Yeah, and I'm just going in with them on the day of Media Day, September 24th, right, before Media Day, to make sure that – and these guys are professionals. Most of them know what they're doing. They've been down this road before. You talk to the young guys, and you reinforce things with the older guys and make sure that they know just the right way to handle the media. And I've done it for quite some time. I've done it for more than two decades, and I feel like I've got some good insight into that. So you just make sure that you don't step in any potholes and mess yourself up and end up in a situation where your coach, your GM, or your media relations department has to put out fires. And that it's all about avoiding controversy and kind of staying in the middle, because when you're a guy like AD or a Drew Brees, your opinion matters. And when you tweet something that is the least bit controversial, you're going to split things down the middle. It's going to be retweeted like crazy. And Drew Brees has ended up in a couple of sticky situations because of social media in the past, one of which I remember a few years ago. I don't remember the exact content, but it was somebody who he had employed to post for him on social media.
Right.
And it was something that was an ill-timed post with something that was going on current events nationally. And it just didn't jibe right. So it didn't go over well. And it was nothing that Drew did, but it was on his account, and it for a little while made him look bad.
And
you want to avoid stuff like that.
Right, and conversely, people want you to be active in social media and speak out about something that's happening, a social event or something that's kind of catching storm or fire across the country. And they want your opinion, whether it's social issues or things of that nature. And a lot of times, where is Breeze? How does he feel on this?
And sometimes
social media himself, Brian, and Elise decide. What was it, the Budan Kalachi that got you out here? Is that really what I want? Yeah, exactly. Maybe. Exactly. That happened.
This is what I liken it to. Mm-hmm. I say that the foundation for social media is poured in middle school. Fifth, sixth, seventh grade. This is where it is poured, and they're not being taught it right now. Nobody is focusing on this aspect of social media growth. So it's like we tell these kids who can't swim, jump into the deep end of the pool and figure it out. We say, here's this big social media world, go figure it out. Mm-hmm. And that's why they get in trouble later, because they don't know what they're doing in the first place. And the schools need to focus more on it. Organizations need to focus more on it. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make some inroads and get these programs out there and a little more noticeable and have kids that go into high school a little more prepared with what they're doing, because it changes every day.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. ScottWalkerConsulting.com is the way to go. Check them out over online to see exactly what Scott's doing. But you have it in there. It's not just, football teams or sports. It is high school. It's politicians. Anything really where social media can sort of be like that. So seems like you can be busy. You can be busy because I think a lot of people could use this.
And that's part of what I'm doing. That's part of the business. The other stuff is media relations, public relations, branding, social media management, things like that. But I'm trying to spend a good portion of my time. I felt like when I left WDSU, I could do more in the community than I could from behind that desk. And I feel like I just want to be able to do more. It sounds cliche, but do more to help, do more to be out there and just use what I've learned over the years to help other organizations and teams and whoever may need it.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, also filling bellies.
That's part of it, too.
Across the city as well. Shipley's right here in Old Medi. How can people follow Shipley's online?
Shipley Donuts OM on Twitter. Shipley Old Medi on Facebook. And on Instagram, it's Shipley Old Medi.
Yeah, of course. You still have that six next to your name on Twitter.
Well, see, that's a conundrum because I have the little verified check mark. And if I change it, I'll lose the check mark and you're not verified anymore, which I don't even know what that means. Yeah. But it shows that I'm like the Scott Walker that's not the governor.
To be confused with the other. Yeah.
President Trump tweeted last night, Scott Walker is special.
Yeah.
I'm going to screen grab that to save that. The Scott Walker special.
There you go. He probably didn't mean it in a good way.
Right, well.
You don't know, right?
He actually did.
Oh, he did?
Last year he tweeted, at the convention, the Republican convention, right. He tweeted me accidentally.
I remember
instead
that.
Of the governor of Wisconsin. Yeah. And just put Scott Walker 6 instead of Scott Walker.
Yeah.
Which I still don't know how people make that mistake because we're very different people.
You would
very
see that in the profile picture there as well, too, right? But for the most part, it pops up
I guess
on the
it's
phone.
Easy. It pops up. You hit it and it goes. And I had that night. I had thousands and thousands and thousands of mentions. It was the craziest social media night.
You probably got that quick taste of what it's like to be able to run right for office because you have the other side and immediately attacks you, right? They hate you.
It was something.
They want nothing to do with you. And then the other side is there to support you, and you're like, I literally have nothing to do with this. But it is.
I was just standing on the side of the road and I got hit.
Look, I've teased it a lot to my friend Lee and friends. I'm like, I'd love to run someday because you talk about helping the community. I don't know why I would think I could, but I would. I wouldn't mind doing that. And then I watch the hot seat when you used to do it, and then I see the results, and then like the coverage, and then and, you know,
the thought has gone through my head, you know, but it's usually a fleeting thought.
Yeah, I don't know if I think I could probably eventually deal with it. My problem is if I could control myself from doing an ill-advised tweet or something.
Right.
I don't know if I want to put my wife through it.
That's part of it, too.
It's the family. It's all of a sudden now they're having to answer stuff. She can't go to, you know, Rouse's down the street and in a grocery store without somebody yelling something.
That's part of it.
So I'll leave that to you guys, the professionals and the social media people. But if I decide to run, I'll give you a buzz.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. That's Scott Walker 6 is the way to follow him on Twitter. Come here. We're here 12 to 3. T-Bob and Jordy off the bench. Jordy Collada and T-Bob Abey are going to be here on August 31st, the morning after the Saints preseason finale against the L.A. Rams.
Boy. I can't wait for the season. What do you all think the Saints are going to do? I think they're every bit of a Super Bowl contender that there is out there right now. I mean, it's going to be tough to get past the Eagles and the Rams and the Vikings, but they're in that mix, I think.
Yeah.
And they're one incompletion away last year from being in the NFC Championship game and doing who knows what. But this is what I want to ask you about. Mm-hmm. We think they're going to do great things this year, but is the Drew Brees era going to end up being more about missed opportunities in the end? The San Francisco game, the Vikings game.
Mm-hmm.
If Vernon Davis doesn't catch that touchdown pass, I think the Saints win the Super Bowl that year. They would have had the Giants in the dome in the NFC Championship
for them to get over that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have that. You have the Seattle losses. You have the Vikings loss. So many close chances, and you can easily see Drew Brees with 3 or 4 Super Bowl rings.
Yeah.
But he's got one, and maybe he'll get two.
It's one of the reasons, Scott.
Hard to wrap my head around.
It's one of the reasons I feel if they do win, I could see him walking away.
Yeah.
You know?
It's frustrating. As a fan and as somebody who's covered it, it's frustrating to see him get so close and to just fall short. Because they were the better team in that San Francisco game. They were the better team. They were the better team that year. They would have beaten the Giants in the Superdome to go to the Super Bowl.
See what he just did? We talked about this on our show a lot this summer. I don't feel that you have as many people talking about the Minnesota game the way they did with San Francisco. Because I think people felt that that was a year they could have
won. Maybe it's still so painful.
Right. Well,
every time I look at the Vikings play, it
I look at it this way, Scott. I think there's more hope for the upcoming season. That's probably why they feel that way.
I'm with you.
That's where it goes. Scott, thanks for having us here again.
Thanks for coming, Gus.
Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert. And again, Brian and Elise, I don't know if you were listening on the way in. This is probably one of the better connections. I mean, yeah, that guy Favre went to Southern Miss, but right here, quarterback receiver tandem. You got to put us up there.
Come up with a name for the walk.
Fields. In Hattiesburg.
Fire and ice? Or, I don't know.
We got plenty of time. We'll do that. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gus.
Hey, when we come back, unfortunately, bad news on the practice fields for your New Orleans Saints. We'll touch on that when we come back next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with the King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
The road to the big leagues goes through New Orleans, and it's baseball season at the Shrine on Airline. We've got giveaways, fireworks, fun promotions, and so much more. Tickets start at just $5. Every Thursday, bring your dog, and it's Thirsty Thursday with discounted drink specials. Fireworks are back every Friday. We also offer group discounts, and our suites and hospitality areas are available for groups of any size. For tickets and information, visit cakesbaseball.com. Baseball is back at the Shrine on Airline. Play ball.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline. In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
At Glenn at LSU Beat Tweets, Glenn Gilbo is the way to follow Mr. Glenn over online and, of course, on social media. Covers the LSU Tigers, and yes, some news yesterday for sure that took place. So we welcome Glenn onto the show. Glenn, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Gus, how are you?
Doing well, man. Good. Doing well. So Lowell Narcisse tweets last night that he's leaving campus and no practice visibility. He wasn't at practice, Justin McMillan. So the Tigers down to what? Two scholarship quarterbacks in Joe Burrow and Miles Brennan.
Right, right. You know, I think if nobody gets hurt, it's kind of a good thing. Now they can just focus on those two instead of trying to appease all four, if indeed that's what they were doing in practice. But we don't really see enough of practice to really tell what they're doing other than calisthenics. But I think we knew that, you know, for sure one of these was going to happen. But two is kind of a surprise.
Right. You know, I guess when you take a look at it, really, When Joe comes in and they go make that push there, I guess the initial, and I know you and I have talked a little bit about it, the initial reaction was, well, obviously they're not too thrilled. They're happy with what's going on in that position group. But, look, I guess what's interesting is they were all a part of the scrimmage, right? And it's just maybe the timing that's a little off?
Well, you know, I think it would have, one of them, McMillan or Narcisse, to leave shortly after Burrow got there. I mean, that would have been the smarter thing to do, because then mm-hmm. you could have got to your new school, got settled, and got there for the beginning of camp, and you'd have had a better chance to play this year. But, you know, they both waited about midway through practices, so I thought that could have, you know, for their sake, I thought they could have decided it earlier, because you know, just looking at experience, Brennan and Burrow have both played significantly more than McMillan and Narcisse. So, you know, that had to weigh into it.
You know, one of the things, obviously, that I guess you look at now is where does Lowell go? He's going to go play at a junior college, and he says in January he'll choose for another school. Do you think it could be local? Do you think the recruiting process will sort of be like it was maybe when he was getting out of high school?
Yeah, you know, he wasn't a five star. He was, I think he was 18th ranked in the state. He wasn't a major recruit. Really, Brennan was only a little bit higher recruited as far as the grades. But, you know, I would think there's a chance he might consider Tulane or a school close by. But, you know, I was looking forward to seeing him as the years went by, as he got away from his injuries and got stronger and healthier, because he was starting to do that, according to Coach O. I mean, I think he could still be a very good quarterback. And the tough thing is, if he had stayed at LSU, Lowell Narcisse, he'd have been the perfect second option strategic quarterback, because Brennan and Burrow are both the same, you know, kind of drop back. Burrow can run a little bit, but Narcisse would have been a real change of pace, you know, a good third down back, short yardage back, and big. You know, Ed said he was a bull. So, you know, he's a much better runner than any of the quarterbacks LSU had. So I think he probably should have stuck around another year and see what happens. I mean, the thing is, you're not going to find a bigger school that has more problems at quarterback than LSU. So that's where he needs to be.
Right, very true.
Because They don't have any consistency at the position. It's always like a new guy. So that's where you want to be. So, you know, I could see McMillan transferring as a graduate. But I think Narcisse should have stayed and waited how things go between Brennan and Burrow. I mean, people are excited about having Burrow, but, you know, we don't know if he's the answer yet.
It's funny, Glenn, that's where you went with that. At LSU Beat Tweet, speaking with Glenn Gilbo, covers the LSU and, of course, your New Orleans Saints. Gannett, Louisiana Papers, USA Today. You can follow him at LSU Beat Tweet on Twitter. Glenn, because I was going to look at it this way. I guess if I'm an LSU fan, I go, hey, well, if two quarterbacks are not even deciding to come back, then clearly the other two are that much better. And I think they maybe see the writing on the wall, and it tells you that that's where they're going. Can you look at it from a positive standpoint like that?
Well, I was looking at it from Lowell's point of view, but yeah, from the general point of view, I think it's a positive that they can just focus on these two instead of trying to appease all four of them. If, like I said, that's what they were trying to do. But yeah, that may be it. Maybe McMillan and Narcisse realized what a difference there was between them, but. You know, that's unproven. I mean, you know, we won't know that until we see it. I think it's more along the lines of they realize they're not in the race, you know, regardless of how better the other ones may be. Because sometimes coaches, they just kind of, you know, they kind of know who they want to do well, and they give them a little more chance. I mean, you're definitely going to give Burrow and Brennan, you know, more benefit of the doubt, because they play more.
Speak with Glenn Gilbo at LSU Beat Tweet, the way to follow on Twitter. So Coach O is supposed to address the media today. No doubt he'll be asked about it. I'm sure he'll address it and kind of take a look at it. Now they're getting into their second scrimmage and getting closer and closer to LSU in Miami.
Right. You know, and hopefully they don't lose any more players. You know, it's been a rough couple of weeks. The biggest loss was Ed Ingram to a suspension, and then Tyler Taylor, the linebacker, also to a suspension. They've had a couple of injuries. Jamal Pettigrew, the tight end, big injury because he's their best blocking tight end. So if they can keep everybody they got now, and You know, they don't need to have a quarterback go down for sure. Just two scholarship ones. They should be able to focus on the team. You know, the defense looks better. That's what's going to have to carry them early.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess we'll see what Coach O has to say later this evening. Glenn, thank you for a little bit of your time this afternoon, man.
Okay, Gus. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. At LSU Beat Tweet is the way to follow over on Twitter, as, of course, one of the things that we'll see if you're a Tiger fan, how things will play out. But, again, all of that comes in the near future when these guys start getting into the game action. We're not going to really know how good Joe Burrow is or anybody else is until game action, but obviously with two quarterbacks deciding to, you know, not be in the competition anymore, kind of let you think and believe that at least the coaches, right? Because, I mean, they both said it. They sat down and talked with the coaching staff, so that's where they're going to be. But we'll hear what Loel Narcisse had to say on Off the Bench this morning as he was on with Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert. We'll play that coming up here in a little bit. Up next, though, we got to get to the Saints. Practice just wrapped up a little bit ago. Head coach Sean Payton has spoken, but also apparently an injury on the field and could be a big one. We'll talk about that next as we're live at Shipley's Donuts in Old Metairie. Stop on by. We're here all the way to 3 o'clock. You've got to try the Boudin Kolaches. Absolutely delicious. 2561 Metairie Road. Metairie Road in LaBarre, essentially, is where we are. Come on by. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
All right, all right. It's the final days
of our summer passport sales event.
Going on now at Barker Mitsubishi.
Listen to this. You get all three.
0% APR for 72 months.
Plus, make no payments for 90 days.
And a $1,000 rebate.
On every new 2018 Mitsubishi.
Outlander and Outlander Sport.
Or you can get a new 2018 Mirage G4.
For only $13,995.
0% APR for 72 months.
Plus, make no payments for 90 days.
And a $1,000 rebate.
On Outlander and Outlander Sports.
And get huge savings on the all-new Eclipse Cross.
Plus, these new Barker Mitsubishis come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Only at Barker Mitsubishi, located at the Big 3 Auto Corner.
Where St. Charles meets West Tunnel Boulevard in Houma.
It all ends August 31st.
Booyah!
Excludes TT and Allen select models with approved credit. Some customers will not qualify. Warranty excludes Evolution and IMIEV. Must finance through Mitsubishi. See Barker for details.
This is Mike Dettigia. If you love having the weekends to do special things, at Neal's Small Engine, you will find everything you need to keep your lawn nice and neat. We had Gravely and Skag Zero Turn mowers, Echo, Shindawa, and Steel trimmers, blowers, and chainsaws. Our showroom is the biggest in the South. So if you want the best products along with the best service, there's only one place to go. That's Neal's Small Engine Incorporated. We have three locations to serve you in Houma, La Rose, and Thibodeau. It's the best on the bayou.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix. Power over pests.
Come see us at Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy to hear about ways we may be able to save you money on your prescription medications. We accept most major insurances, and we also offer discounts through our 340B prescription program. Our friendly staff will take the time to review your prescriptions with you and assist in figuring out which programs will save you the most money. Come by our location in Frank's Supermarket in La Rose or call 693-9260 for more information. We look forward to being your community pharmacy.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover, as we are live at Shipley's Donuts here in Old Metairie. Shockingly, no, we haven't seen you in quite some time, Brian, in the least. You've been out there working the roads, as they say. And You know, we mentioned there's Boudin kolaches. There's, I don't know, 15 different filled donuts from cream to chocolate to jelly to raspberry to blueberry to you name it. And here you are in person.
It may have been the kolaches because it definitely wasn't the cream-filled donuts.
You have got to try the Boudin kolache.
I will before
Corner Scott, it's specific to just Louisiana.
Yeah, because so, I've lived in Houston for years, right, and I've never had it out there.
Just, you like Boudin, right?
Yes, of course.
It's in a warm dough that's almost like a donut with Boudin.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to describe it. Oh, and it's cheese. Melted cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Cheating on that diet, huh?
Notice the smoothie is still next to
me. Yeah, still there.
I'm still almost full. I can't really go into it. We've got to get into, of course, what's going on with the lead. Joey, if we can, we'll start with that because, unfortunately, there may be some bad news for you New Orleans Saints.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, the good news, we'll start there first. Defensive end Marcus Davenport, Brian, was out there at practice today, so that is good news. Also, Cameron Meredith, a couple of those players hadn't seen action for Marcus Davenport, almost 2 weeks, mm-hmm. really, from practice time. Since we've seen him out there, all good. Sean Payton, after practice, referencing, hey, he liked the recovery time with them as well. That's good. Unfortunately, never good when injuries take place. Obviously, that's a concern during games, but we always say this. You can get injuries in practice. There have been some teams in the division that have had some injuries at practice and players being lost for the season. Don't know the severity of the injury, but the way it's being described, at least on Twitter, by those that were at practice, and they started late, which is why I didn't see it, but it was 9:50 was the start time instead of the normal 8 o'clock start time, so we had to get here to Shipley, so I wasn't there to see it. But, Brian, go ahead and give us the news.
Yeah, I mean, multiple reports from Larry Holder, Josh Katzenstein, Joe Erickson of the New Orleans Advocate, all of these guys are tweeting that Alex Okafor went down today with an apparent leg injury. And nobody's speculating at the severity of it, but when players start to drop down to a knee and hold hands and start praying for a guy, you probably that's a good indicator that he's going to be gone for the season.
Well, again, let's see what happens. But at any time you hear that the practice session went quiet,
yeah,
and everyone
silence.
Is starting to pray, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of one of those where immediately, it doesn't take long to either hear the word or – I mean, if you're standing on the field and you're next to him, whatever's being said can be obviously heard, or you're seeing the player's yeah. reaction. When we see an injury, always a player's reaction can be very telling. I remember talking one of the early training camp practices, running into Deuce, and when I was the sideline reporter, I mean, we had so much fun going back and forth. I went to Southern Miss, went to Ole Miss, so he had several names for my. Of training camp specifically about we were talking about injuries and players that were done and we were talking about what were the toughest injuries for him to come back and it was blowing out his knee
he said the microfracture was
and
the hardest
seeing
one.
It and I just remember his face and
on field
and as he came off limping and I remember in the mic because I could talk to the booth and I'm like I think he's done.
Yeah.
And that was the last time, because I remember telling him at practice, I'm like, that's not how you wanted to walk off that dome.
No.
I mean, at
no
least
question.
To carry.
Not for him.
At least maybe a touchdown or at least on your own terms. But walking off, I remember seeing on the bench, doctor talk to him. I mean, within a minute, you just see him start to cry.
Yeah.
And when you see players do that, that's now, again, I'm not saying that's what we saw with Okafor or something like that. But what I'm saying is. It doesn't take long if it's an injury like that. And you just
Correct.
Go by observations. And when you start reading people tweeting, people taking a knee, everyone is dead quiet. This isn't one of those situations where I think we'll see him shortly. Now, if that turns into not being a, hey, we'll see you by the end of the week type injury, what is the severity? Is it weeks? Is it months? I mean, look, you've seen MCL sprains. You've seen different type of injuries that can be, 2, 3, 4 weeks or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know what it is, but when you see right leg injury and people on a knee, you kind of wonder. Now, I said it can't be like his Achilles or anything of that nature. They don't normally tend to rupture again. And then you said
Junior Gallette popped his twice in consecutive years.
Right.
Now, I'm not speculating and saying
that's
what's
going
on with
him.
We're
just trying to think. Okay, when it's a leg injury and you hear leg injury with a guy that's coming back from an Achilles, but he's been strong on the way back.
Given his injury history, you kind of speculate just a little bit. And you, of course, you hate to do so, but you know, given his injury history, you kind of look at it. And you and I were right there when Trayvon Darrell got hurt, and you know, you could see the instant reaction. You kind of knew at that point.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
No, and you saw it again, and you go by the judgment of him pounding his right fist into the ground.
Yeah, he instantly
right
knew.
Right then and there, he knew, and we're like, dude, that's not a, you know, cause I was thinking, is it clavicle? Cause they were reaching in the upper left shoulder. You know, I was like, it's a collarbone, you know, it's not season injury, but that position group with what he's trying to battle.
As deep as it was.
He has to play, and you know, I remember looking at him like, dude, that's just horrible luck. Like, it made me sick to my stomach. I felt horrible,
cause
the guy
can
play.
Yeah,
I think he can play.
He was doing well.
What's interesting about this, and again, we don't know what the injury is, and I'm seeing the people at practice are being very careful and not even describing the body part.
Correct.
Sean Payton, in case you're wondering why that's not being reported or tweeted, because we could see it, right? It's a closed practice.
Yes.
If it was an open practice in which fans were in the stands, my rule of thumb is simple. If Jordan's parents or, you know, Your parents or friends or my wife's in the stands that can see them working on his knee, I should be able to say they're working on his knee.
Because everyone's going to say
I'm not saying what the injury is. I'm just, they're working on his knee. Sean Payton has a very big issue with injury reporting.
Indeed.
And that's, I mean, darn near the outline max that he wants ever being said. That's body part.
Right.
So he would probably prefer with he went down with an injury. We'll wait to see if Sean Payton addresses it. Like, that's what he would rather.
Mm-hmm.
But so if there's listeners right now going, well, what did he hurt? Is it are they looking at his foot? Because, I mean, we could end that speculation now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they're looking at not his foot, it's not worried about the Achilles.
Correct.
If we're looking at his knee, well, it could be a number of different injuries, and you can come back. It's not season ending.
Right.
You know, it could be something like that. It could be a contusion. It could be one of those different things. So again, right leg, you know, ankle, knee, foot, what happened. But when you see players on a knee and starting to pray, it makes you think that it's probably not something you can just limp right off. So, but again, I did say this, Brian, the other thing too, I haven't seen any tweets carted off the field.
Right. And that's always a great sign when you don't see that, because, of course, that's the old thumbs up, that part of
the
it.
The old thumbs up. Well, again, let's be honest. If you're a Saints fan and you see carted off the field.
It's probably
right
a bad thing.
Now, again, he might have. But it's not being reported. So I don't know. I wasn't at practice. But we're as much in the dark as you are. But, Brian, the reason we're spending time on this and talk about it, because the Marcus Davenport development, the Marcus Davenport injury and coming back from what the Advocate reported was a groin issue, hasn't been an issue, because I've told people Alex Okafor has looked great this training camp.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the backfield. That's why he didn't play this past week. You're trying to bring him slowly. You want to make sure he's healthy. And if he can continue to do that, Marcus, hey, you just show up. You're a rotational player.
Correct.
Even though your high draft pick in the team gave up this year and next year's first for you, that pressure wouldn't be nearly as great because you have somebody can go and do the job right now.
Yeah, like an Okafor. Yeah.
If he can't make the opening game, it just adds to it. Now, there's more reps that he has to go do, and you're going to take a lot more on his shoulders now. And, you know, again, if he's coming back from an injury, it adds more because, again, you'll start to tell a couple of telltale signs here.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Saints sign somebody today?
Yeah, they signed somebody.
Right?
They signed
a DN. It's not going to be a week.
Right.
You know, if they sign a veteran DN, you might have a little clearer picture. It's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm getting at?
Correct.
Whether it's bodies or something like that. If it's a short term, they may not make it. Paulo Hikikaha goes right back to DN.
I think so. I think he definitely improved his situation, unfortunately, because of the injury. But you're also looking at a guy like Al-Qadim Muhammad.
Al-Qadim Muhammad's the second guy right now.
Yeah.
But Davenport's your starter. In the depth chart, it was Okafor and Davenport. So Davenport's now one.
Yes.
If not Al-Qadim. who's been here 2 years. And look, he's the guy that started last week. So it'll be Al-Qadeen Muhammad and it'll be Marcus Davenport. But you do have Haolu Hikikaha, who has been the right defensive and pass rusher. So you at least, again, it goes to what we've been saying, though, Brian. This team has depth. And I've always felt that, as opposed to seasons past, when you had injuries, it would probably be harder for them to my point is, if you didn't have Davenport right now, it's Al-Qadeen and Kikaha.
Yeah.
If this was last year. You understand what I'm saying? It would be those two players.
I'm also going to look at a guy like the veteran George Johnson, who's still around. And, of course, there's Trey Hendrickson, who seems to be getting some snaps out there as well. So I want to see what happens this week. I know they're not going to do anything prior to the preseason game. But starting the following week after the game, I want to see what kind of moves are made. It's going to tell a lot.
No doubt about it. Brian, keep on it. See if you can find out what's going on. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about it. We're live at Shipley's Donuts over in Old Metairie. Joining the intern is grabbing Sean Payton from practice today. So we'll have that coming up here in a little bit. 2561 Metairie Road, Shipley's Donuts. Stop on by. You got to try the Boudin Kalashi. It is Jordan just mouthed, I'm going to have another one. How about Brian? Brian has yet to have a Boudin Kalashi. Why don't you go up there and go get a Boudin Kalashi?
Sure will.
Just for you. All right, Sports Hangover continues next. Don't forget, Hour 1 is always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. You've been injured in an accident. Ring the King, 504-909-KING and kinginjuryfirm.com. As they specialize in personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp as well. This is Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Amazon has everything for back to school. Zebra lunchbox? Check. Cool Adidas gear like t-shirts, shoes, and backpacks? Check. Triceratops folders and pencils? Check. Laser cat t-shirts? Check. Get your back-to-school shopping done now at Amazon.com/back-to-school and enjoy free shipping on millions of items. No need to leave your home or hassle with crowds. Amazon.com, no better place to get everything back to school from A to Z.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bedbugs, mice, and rats, or any other pest control need you may have. So feel free to stop in at 805 South Alex Plaisance Boulevard on the 4-lane in Golden Meadow. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon, or call 985-475-3314.
Pros and the know start with Lowe's, because at Lowe's, it's easy to find the right tools for the job at the right price. And now you can get up to 30% off select cordless drills and combo kits, including savings on trusted brands like Hitachi, Porter Cable, DeWalt, and Cobalt. Plus, get in and out quickly with help from dedicated associates at our Pro Desk and Pro Checkout. So, Pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Offer valid through August 19th while supplies last. See store for details.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Covino and Rich. Tough decision. I'm quoting Tony Parker. Tough 3 days. Tough communicating it all to Pop. I had to move on. There's two ways to handle life and sports. Encouraging the veteran or the young person to move on.
That's it.
And succeed. Or making them feel guilty for leaving you. And no one, you should never make someone feel guilty for trying to go do their best.
Covino and Rich.
Noon to 4 East. Saturday and Sunday on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to follow us over on Twitter as well. So Marcus Davenport back in action at practice. The problem is, defensive end Alex Okafor going down with an injury. Don't know what it is. My guess is head coach Sean Payton probably won't let us know anytime soon as well, Brian.
No, we're not going to know anything.
Jordan, intern, you just had Sean Payton. You're cutting that for a little bit from now, but he didn't mention, obviously. Okay. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, you probably got to go get an MRI, figure out what's going on, or see what it is. I don't know what it is. It's a leg injury. No one else is giving us any info as to what's going on. Brian, during the break, we're going back and forth. We did see a week ago, almost, right?
Yeah.
Number 55 in your program, guys, Jayron Elliott coming off the right side, taking on the left tackle. SWAT! Strip fumble leads to the game-winning drive by your New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
Could Jayron Elliott be somebody that can help fill in the meantime?
I mean,
with an injured Alex Okafor.
He could, but, I mean, I could also win the lottery. Doesn't mean it's going to happen that way.
Oh, come on.
I mean, it's one thing to be impressive against third and fourth teamers. Not that you shouldn't, because you can only dominate the level of competition that you're playing against. But I'll get excited when I see him do it against the ones or maybe even the twos. Until then, I saw the same thing from Al-Qadeen Muhammad last year, and then he couldn't sniff the field when it was time after.
You're not a big fan of Al-Qadeen, and I've seen you tweet about him. I've seen a play or two that shows his potential.
Yes.
He can go sideline to sideline. He's got speed. I've seen him go up and down the line of scrimmage, wrap a running back from behind. When they drafted him, they said he was a project.
Yeah.
They said it was going to take some time. You like that size? I almost – hold on here. Don't throw a donut at me.
It's about to happen.
I almost feel like he's like the defensive version of Brandon Coleman in terms of people hope because of his size that he can be something. Does that make sense?
I think it's more the university as well, too.
Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at, where – for the most part, like, people looked at Brandon Coleman because of his size. They want him to be Colston. You look at Al-Qadeen Muhammad, you're like, he could be Cam Jordan. He's about as tall. You know, they go out there, be physical. He looks like a basketball player rather than a football player.
Yeah.
He can get around. Look, Marlon Favorite says it all the time at defensive tackle. Using your hands, getting the sense and feel. It's an art. It takes time to develop that technique, how to pass rush. Mm-hmm. How to shed a block, to understand that a lot of times if it's coming inside, that tackle is going to let you get up the field and outside. He's going to take you all the way, 5-10 yards past that quarterback that's moved up in the pocket. The ball's delivered by the time he can get away. You know, he backs up. Next thing you know, the guard is now engaged with you as the tackle is now going on to something else. I mean, you have to get snaps.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get that experience. Like I said, I've seen glimpses, but again, we don't know how long Okafor is out. He went down with an injury. Players on a knee praying. So now I'm just going over all the different players that they have options, but I'm with you. I mean, Kikaha has veteran.
Yeah.
Elliott has veteran.
He's been around a few years,
right?
Jayron Elliott. I mean, you look at, again, Muhammad with a few years. There's George Johnson who can slide in. Trey Hendrickson, who's a guy they were counting on, but to me, I just feel like I'm not going to get excited until I see some of these young guys actually do it in a game that matters. We saw it, Al-Qadeen Muhammad last year. What was it, 6 sacks during the preseason?
Right.
And then he couldn't even – I mean, they barely wanted to use the guy on special teams.
And look, and here's the thing. Jayron Elliott back on the 12th had this to say following practice about what his role is. And, again, this is why you're saying not excited.
I like the pass rush. You know, it helps out a lot. But we got two great pass rushers on the edge already, so I know my quality on this team will be on special teams. So, I'm going to go out there and attack special teams every day. Same mindset, get better, lead the younger guys, and, you know, try to get in a great group. You know, join guys like Justin Hardy, Banjo, Taysom Hill, you know, just trying to add to help those guys out.
So to your point, in his mind, he's a special teams player.
Yeah.
But if, again, that's because I think in his mind, as Okafor, as Davenport, I'm going to get a few snaps, so if I can focus on that. If one of those two players aren't there, and again, Davenport finally back on the practice field dealing with the groin pill. You better make sure that you take your time with that.
Yeah, no question, because that'll be a lingering injury.
Exactly right. So I'm the Saints. I know it may not come across very well. I might have him practice a bit, but I don't know if I'm playing him in games right now. I don't need him to have a big, misstep. Yeah. And now you're down two starting defensive ends.
Correct.
You know, going into Tampa. And like I told you, that game might get a little tighter, you know?
No.
You're still –
No.
See, you and the intern think that that's going to be a shiver me timberlands victory. That's just going to be
No, but I think it's Vegas has a great idea of what it's going to be. I think it's going to be at least a 10-point win.
You think that many, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think Tampa has O-line and D-line issues, and they still have a secondary that's a work in progress. Can they be much improved? Yes, they still have to figure out their running game as well. I'd definitely say we're looking at maybe a 24-14 game.
You realize, though, you're missing the biggest piece to the puzzle now, huh?
Who's that? Mr. Grabham?
Devonta Harris. Devonta Harris knows all the secrets, knows
that's
the
if
calls.
He makes their team.
That's all the hand gestures,
yeah.
The routes that are coming.
He knows how to do everything except play the position.
Difference maker.
Yeah. Know how to do everything except play the position.
Well, he doesn't have to play.
No.
He can just snitch.
Yeah. See how well that'll work out for him.
Hour two. We're going to go over a couple of things with the Saints here as well, not just, of course, the defensive end position. We're live at Shipley's Donuts. Come by, stop in. You got to try the Boudin Kolache, and, of course, one of the many different donuts as well. 2561 Metairie Road between Causeway and Bonnables, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.